Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever.
Morning, everyone. Good to see you all once again. I'm glad we made it through the snowy weather. The road seemed to be a little bit more cleared up this morning, so more people were able to make it. So we're glad about that. I'm glad to see all your smiling faces this morning. It always encourages me to see all of you, brethren. So I thank you so much for being here this morning. So do not love the world or the things in it. As we come upon this Christmas season, this Christmas, as we call it, holiday, we get a lot of gifts, don't we? It's all about gifts. Well, that's what they say it's not about, but it may be about that a little more than we think. Gifts and gifts, especially for parents. So, but Christmas, as we call it Christmas, was originally created as a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And they would call Christmas the day as when Jesus was born. You see, the problem for us as Christians in the Church of Christ is we don't have the exact date of when Jesus was born. So we don't know for sure as to whether or not this is the day, the Christmas day is the day as to when He was born. But here's the thing. Do we celebrate Jesus' birth, or do we celebrate His entire life, death, burial, and resurrection? Every first day of the week. Do we celebrate it every year, or do we celebrate it every Sunday? For us as Christians in the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16, we celebrate Jesus' life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection every first day of the week, every Sunday. Am I saying Christmas is bad? No, I'm not. I'm not saying Christmas is bad. What I'm saying is, the reasons that people are celebrating Christmas today, with it being the birth of Jesus Christ, and they only come to church one time a year, that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. The Church of Christ celebrates Jesus every first day of the week, Christians. So let's keep in mind as we are in this holiday, as we are traveling to family, as we are going and opening gifts, that it may be a little more about gifts than we think, or than we might pose at first, or maybe it's not to some of those watching on here or some of those listening. But overall, from a spiritual aspect, Christmas is a traditional holiday. We say holiday, and that word means holy day. Christmas is not a holy day. Christmas is a seasonal day, a tradition created by man. And am I saying again Christmas is bad? No, I'm not. I'm saying it was created by man. But for us as Christians, for us who celebrate spiritual holidays, so to say, what is our holiday? Sunday. Every first day of the week, you could call our holy day. The day for the Old Testament was the Sabbath. Well, for us today, it's Sunday. And we celebrate Jesus every Sunday. We worship God. And we worship God through Jesus. And we celebrate Jesus even by memorializing His death every Sunday. So keep those things in mind as we're in this Christmas season right now, and as we even say that word Christmas, because it does have the word Christ in it. It's certainly okay to remember Jesus and Christ on this day, but keep in mind, every first day of the week, that's when we celebrate Christ. So, Christians, just keep that in mind as we go about this. And then the other thing that I wanted to say was, this lesson, I thought it applied to us really right now as far as Christmas goes, because Christmas if it started out as this or not, it really is a lot about gifts. It really is a lot about giving possessions to each other. And that's a happy thing. That's a great thing. That's a joyous thing. Families give gifts to each other. We're all entertaining each other with gifts. That's a great thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But a problem that we come to in Christmas is people prioritize possessions over God most of the time. So we need to make sure that as we're in this Christmas right now, as we're going about and doing all these things with family, that we're keeping God first in our lives. That we're prioritizing God in everything. That we're not putting possessions above God. Or maybe even family, physical family, above God. Some people may be choosing this morning, and I'm not saying they are, but some people may be choosing not to go to church services this morning because of Christmas, and they're just skipping out entirely. Because it's a holiday, a Christmas holiday. Well, certainly we should be worshiping God in the ways that are instructed, in the ways that are commanded, not in the ways that are traditions of man. Keep those things in mind, Christians. All right, let's get into our text a little bit. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Sometimes I have to stop myself before I go down rabbit holes. I do it all the time, man. All the time. Verse 15 there said in 1 John chapter 2, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Do not love the world or the things in the world. What does that word world mean? What does that word world mean? Well, world here is really meaning the things of sin in the world. Does this mean that we as Christians cannot enjoy the things that God has given us in life? The gifts, the blessings? Absolutely not. We know that all good things come from God. But the gifts and everything, all of that, no, that's not what it's saying here. What it is saying here, do not love the world. It is saying do not love the sinful behaviors and acts of the world. Do not condone those things of the world. Because we know that most of the world chooses sin, chooses evil. Well, for us as Christians, we're not of the world. We're of heaven. We're of a spiritual kingdom. We're not of Satan. We're not of the satanic kingdom, of the kingdom really of those who are going to hell. We're not of that. We're not of darkness. We're of the light, rather. So don't love the evil world. Don't love the dark world, the sinful world, or the things in the sinful world, as in the sins. But rather, love God first. Do the commandments of God first. That's really the message that John is trying to get across there. We should see God in creation. We should praise God for His creation. There are many, many verses that we can go to, and one of the first ones that comes to my mind is Romans 1:20. Now, whenever we're wondering about even the existence of God, when we're wondering about whether or not God is real, we can even go to Romans 1:20 and see that by the invisible attributes of creation, God is seen. And by everything you see around you, God is seen. Look at the snow this morning. Tell me it's not beautiful. You may not like snow, and I know some people here don't, but you can't tell me that that's not beautiful when it's a white sheet blanket of snow. It's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious, gorgeous thing. Certainly we should appreciate that. We should praise God for that. We should praise God for the sun. We should praise God for the sky, the beautiful clouds. Some days the clouds are so amazing, it just blows your mind. It just blows your mind looking at the structuring of the clouds, how they're all over the sky. You might see a storm sometimes. Have you ever seen a storm up in, when you're up in the sky, maybe in a plane or something? It's like this massive, massive structure of clouds, and it's the most glorious thing you've ever seen. And there's lightning strikes going everywhere through that structure, and it's just, wow, it just blows your mind away. You ever seen a hurricane? That massive swirly weather structure in the sky that's just causing all this havoc and making the water move and all of that. All of that proclaims the glory of God. It doesn't proclaim the glory of a random chance. Christians, we struggle today with an atheistic mindset. We struggle today with a evolutionary mindset. And I don't mean of us. I mean of the world. The world teaches that to our children. The world tries to teach that to us through the news. They try to say the earth was here for millions of years and that it all happened by chance. Or maybe that God messed up. Or maybe that God had it all happen through millions of years. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Christians in the Church of Christ follow only what the Bible teaches. And we hear only what the Bible teaches as far as how the world was made. And that's not the lesson this morning. But we should appreciate this world that God has given to us. We should appreciate that God has given man dominion over everything. We should appreciate when it says in Genesis chapter 1, let's turn there. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. This is a great reminder verse. Great reminder verse. Genesis 1, 26. Start there with me. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to every thing that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made. Indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All of this earth you see around you, all of this beautiful creation, you think about even the insects, even the beasts. We have cattle. Lots of people in here have livestock. I know Leon and Debbie, again, they have livestock. But we have all of these things. We have herbs. We have farms. We have all of these ranches. We have all of these businesses. I think about this massive Global Corp thing over here, whatever this massive energy, whatever company is. I mean, it's huge. I've never seen anything like it. But that thing is massive. It's a beautiful structure. Everything that went into making that structure, God originally made. God originally made everything on this earth, and He has given it all to man. We are over everything. The dominion has been completely given to man over all the earth. And if you think about, even now the universe, because we're going out into space. They're going to the moon. They're trying to go to Mars. They're trying to go to even planets outside of our solar system. They're trying to figure that out. God has given us everything. He's given us a whole plane for us to enjoy, for us to see, have blessings in, for us to develop our souls in spiritually. God has given us everything. And surely we should enjoy it, appreciate it, enjoy God's blessings, and never forsake those things, and always praise God for it. Not a random chance, nonsense, baloney thing like evolution. And I'll say it straightforward because that's what it is. Matthew 6:33, though, tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So as we think about gifts this Christmas, as we say it, holiday, or seasonal day, more like, let's not put these gifts first. Let's not put possessions first. Let's put God first. Let's put God ultimately first over everything that we might be able to get in this life. Even over sins. Even over temptations. Let's choose to put God first. And rather than going into even sin, follow God. Keep God's way. Not sin's way. Not evil's way or Satan's way. Or man's way. Now the three categories of sin we see in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, as we're talking about the world here. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I won't read all of it, but it has basically every single category of sin there. Every category of sin. Satan tries to tempt Jesus through all of these different things, and I'll let you read it for yourself here. But he tries to tempt Jesus through all these different avenues. And Jesus, every single time, comes back at him, and he resists Satan's temptations. Jesus chooses not to love the world. He chooses not to have kingship over everything as Satan is offering him. First of all, he's already God and he's already king over everything. But, and not even that, but Jesus is human at this time. And Satan's offering him everything. He's offering him everything. And Jesus, ultimately, rejects it. An element of pride would have been here. An element of all these different lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes, that all would have been here. He shows them all the nations, all the kingdoms of the earth. He shows them on the pinnacle of the temple. He shows them everything. All of this pride, all of this everything that Jesus could have had, but nonetheless, he rejects it. He rather chooses to put God first, to love God first, to put God's way first, and to do the will of God first. Jesus chooses that, and he doesn't choose those three categories of sin: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. As we come upon this seasonal day, as we're in this seasonal day, let's make sure that all of this, maybe joy, maybe all these gift passings, does not block out our vision of the true enemy that might be lurking around, of Satan that might be trying to get us in a time when we don't expect. Don't allow yourself to be tempted by the devil, is what I'm basically trying to tell you. Even by a joyous day, even by a joyous season, Satan's lurking around, even within that. And he can grab you, he can take you down, if you're not paying attention, if you're not watchful. Do not love the world. Do not even love the possessions. Those two things can go together. Possessions, once again, they're not wrong to have. But when you start loving those over God, that's when it can get wrong. What we're talking about here is prioritizing God. What we're talking about here is not allowing yourself to be tempted by those three categories of sin that we just talked about. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. We remember this account very well. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Read it with me. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, this man was consumed by his possessions. This man was consumed by pride, was consumed by those categories of sin, by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Don't allow that to be you. Don't allow that to be you during this seasonal day of Christmas. Don't allow that to be you as you're getting gifts. But rather, as Jesus was instructing there, what should we be doing? Receiving or giving? We should be giving. That is one aspect about Christmas that is a beautiful thing. Giving. And certainly, that wasn't something that was created by man. The aspect of giving was created first even by God. We should be giving. Back in the Old Testament, they were to be giving to their brethren. They were to be helping their brethren. They were to be helping in whatever ways that they needed. But even in the New Testament, Jesus was teaching to give. So that is one beautiful element about Christmas. And the reason I keep relating it is because it's the thing that's going on right now. It's the seasonal day right now. So gifts, yeah, it's all going on. And gifting is a great thing. But we need to understand where all of this is truly coming from. Where all of this teaching is truly coming from as far as giving. And how we don't need to just only receive. Now this rich man, he only cared about receiving, obviously, because he didn't want to give anything. Now let's continue on here in our main context. 1 John chapter 2, let's go back. Verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So we just talked about those three categories of sin: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we see that none of these things are of the Father. None of these things are of the light. None of these things are of God. In 1 John, in chapter 1, it talks a bit about fellowship. Fellowship with Christ, fellowship with God, fellowship with the light. If we have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all of these things will keep us from having that fellowship with the light, with Christ, with God. Do we understand that? These things are not of the light, but they're rather of darkness. They're of evil. And we need to be watchful that none of these things get us. We know even with the account of David and Bathsheba, whenever he saw Bathsheba there, he had that lust of the eyes aspect happen there to him. And he chose in that moment not to turn away. He hadn't sinned yet, but he chose to give in. And we had a lesson over that. He chose to give in, and he committed all these atrocities, even against Uriah. He had a man killed just so he could have the man's wife. It was a terrible thing. And that's where sin leads, ultimately to death. But lust of the eyes, all of these different aspects, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, they will all lead you to death. Maybe even physically a lot of times. But ultimately, spiritually, they will lead you to death, Romans 6:23. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, chapter 7, just the first verse, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There is no accord with Christ and with evil, with light, with darkness. We cannot have both at the same time. Remember, you can't serve God and mammon, meaning money, as in mammon, money. You can't serve both of them. So once again, as we're in this season, if we choose to put gifts first, if we choose to put worldly sins first, not even just gifts, but worldly sins first, not even maybe pertaining to gifts. If we choose that, and we try to have God at the same time, it's not going to work. We cannot have an accord with darkness and with light, with God, with Christ, and with evil, with Satan. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We must be careful, Christians. I'm trying to urge you to be careful. As we're in this season, we may be overcome by joy, but we need to be watchful. We need to be making sure that we're still following the commandments of our God. We're following the will of our God, the ways of light, not the ways of darkness. Christians, we need to make sure that we're not partaking in any forms of darkness. On this seasonal day, sometimes Christians will make exception for things. What do I mean by that? Maybe for alcohol, they'll make exception. Maybe for different types of, I think about eggnog, and they might add some alcohol in there. I know some Christians do that. There's no reason to do that, as far as spiritually. That's definitely not okay. But Christians will do that. They'll make exceptions for things. Because it's a holiday, because it's Christmas, and they're celebrating the birth of Christ. No. We're not celebrating the birth of Christ. We're celebrating the entertainment and you getting drunk in eggnog. That's what we're celebrating. So, let's keep things really where they're supposed to be here. And let's remember that Christmas is a traditional man-made holiday. Day, not even a holiday. Sunday is our holiday, is our holy day. And Christians, I'm not saying once again that there's anything wrong with Christmas. Just that sometimes Christians make exceptions for things that should obviously not be exceptions. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's turn there. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Verse Very important verse. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So whenever you're around your families, whenever you're around maybe worldly families right now, maybe those who don't know about Christ, maybe those who reject Christ or the ways of God, when you're around them, whenever they're partaking in alcohol, and you're about to make an exception or you're thinking about it, realize that to be friends with all of those people, whenever they see you drinking alcohol and they're happy with you drinking that alcohol, well, friendship with the world, with the sins that they're doing right there, is what? Enemyship or enmity with God. You ultimately become an enemy of God if you're a friend of sin, a friend of the world, a friend of evil. Those things, they're interchangeable. The world, once again, meaning sin. Not as people in general, but sin. John 8:12. I have quite a few scriptures for you here. If you want to write them down, so you don't have to turn to every one of them, that would as well work. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus himself there, even confirming 1 John, those who are in God walk in the light. Those who are in God, who have fellowship with God, have no darkness within them. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life all lead down paths of darkness. If you have that darkness within you, you are not of God. If you choose that, you are not of God. If you choose that alcohol, if you choose to get drunk and defile yourself as the temple of God, yes, I believe that we're the temple of God because it says it in the Scriptures. Each of us, we are the temple of God. And if you choose to defile yourself with alcohol, that is defilement of God's temple. That is unacceptable. Christians, we must remain holy. We must remain in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Right nearby our main context. So we'll read that real quick as well. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness. And we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we lie, or if we walk in the light, sorry for my words, walk in the light there, as He is in the light, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we know from this scripture, even from John 8:12 that we just read, that one who has fellowship with Christ, one who walks in the light, must actually be walking in the light, must not succumb to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, must not love the world or become friends with the world as far as going along with the crowd. Christians, once again, I've said it many times, are we to be the same as the world and going in with the crowd, or are we to be different? We're to be different. We're to be those who are completely opposite from everything that you see going around in society. The things that are standing against everything in society. And if people don't know you're a Christian, there's something wrong with that. Everyone should know that you're a Christian. My friends in school, they would know about me that I never cussed, that I never drank alcohol. They would know that. And they would say, you're lying. You definitely have said a cuss word before. I say, tell me when. And they can't think of one because I've never said one. Maybe I did when I was back a child and I didn't know any better. But never said one back in school whenever I was mature. They can't find one. They see difference in me. They see difference in you whenever you choose not to profane your mouth and your tongue. Whenever you don't take the name of God in vain, even by euphemisms, they see that. Whenever they're all saying God and gosh and throwing that all around all over the place. We know what you mean when you say gosh. Whenever they're choosing to do that, and you choose not to, they see the difference. They see the difference in you. They see that you don't profane the name of God. And that was the lesson that I was actually going to do today. But I thought that this lesson pertained more to the seasonal day. Do not love the world or the things in it. Do not love the things of sin. Not even taking the name of God in vain. That is one that I am very passionate about. You can tell. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Let's turn there. before I go down a rabbit hole. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure, Christians? Is it in this world, or is it in heaven? Do you prioritize heaven and the standards of heaven, or do you prioritize this world and the standards of this world, as in the standards of sin? The standards of this world are homosexuality is accepted. The standards of this world is abortion is accepted. The standards of this world is transgenderism is accepted. Do you go along with the standards of this world, or do you go along with the standards of heaven? That's a question we need to ask ourselves in our hearts this morning. Ask your own self that. Do you accept those things? Do you condone those things? Where is your treasure at? Where is your hope at? It's in heaven. And as we talk about, that was a whole side note there, but as we talk about where our treasure is, it's not on this earth. It's not in the gifts that we get, but it's in heaven. So it should be more about giving than receiving. Once again, if we think about this day, give, give, give. Not just about receiving. That is one beautiful aspect about this seasonal day. Luke chapter 12, verses 33 through 34. You see it again there, reconfirmed in Luke. Luke 12, 33 through 34. It says there, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money, bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For your treasure is, there your hearts will be also. There said the same thing in the gospel account of Luke. The world is passing away ultimately, is the message that's being said here. The lust of it is passing away. The sins are passing away. If you think about even sin itself, it's a temporary thing. It's not something that is eternal, like the peace of God, like the love of God. But sin, which is always degrading everything, which is always taking down and wearing down everything, even our own bodies when we do it. Sin, evil, destroys everything it touches, destroys everything that it births in, as the book of James says. Whenever you choose it, it just destroys. So evil, choose not to love evil, because evil ultimately is just trying to kill you. Evil is just trying to take you down. That is the blatant truth about evil that most people tend to overlook. Even with like drugs, even with like alcohol. People do it and it has a temporary effect, but they know the truth, right? They know the truth of how it's killing them inside. Sin is the exact same way. Sin is the exact same way. It's the same thing. Although it's the most deadly disease on this planet. And it's spiritual. It's a spiritual disease. It's evil. And it leads to death in every single way. Loving the world will get you there, but loving God ultimately will get you to life and eternal life. So be watchful for those lusts of the eyes, lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life during this season as we talk about those things. Now let's see a few verses from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, we'll mention a few things. Mention a few more things here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So businessmen, and I'm not saying all businessmen, but a lot of businessmen will make their priority money, will make their priority getting more. Maybe not even just businessmen, but anyone will make their priority money. The things of this world, possessions, getting the new phone, getting the new car, getting the new house, getting the new everything. They'll make that the priority, when the priority should be what? On God. Because the true treasure that is eternal and that lasts forever is in heaven. It's not on things of this earth. This earth, everything dies. Everything destroys. Even in space, you see things blow up and destroy. We have that technology now where we can see that. And we even know that suns off in the distance, like literal a sun, off in the distance of a different solar system, we see them even with microscopes or whatever, or not microscope, telescopes, they'll blow up and they'll literally explode because they, for whatever reason, they just got too old or they met their mark and they just blew up. Everything explodes, everything degrades in this universe. There's a cause and effect for everything, and there's always a time whenever everything dies. So everything's degrading. Even space is degrading. Everything. So Christians, we must again, that's another reminder even for the judgment day. But the world is passing away and the lust of it. And we don't know when this world, of course, and the universe will be destroyed. It could even be tomorrow. So all these things, keep in mind as we go about our day-to-day lives, even on this seasonal day. Let's continue on now in James chapter 4 and verse 14. James chapter 4 and verse 14. James 4, 14. Whereas, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Basically, your life is nothing. On the grand scale of everything, all time, your life is nothing except a little that on a massive scale of time. What will you do with that time? You don't know what will happen tomorrow. Your life is like a vapor. If you think about vapor, maybe, whenever the sun is, you see a vapor or something, whenever the sun's beating down and you can see vapors moving around, well, it appears for a short time, for a second, and then it just passes. That's what your life is like, here in a figurative way, as James is writing, and ultimately the Holy Spirit is saying. That's what your life is like in the grand scale of everything. Hebrews 9:27, that is why we must be ready for the judgment day, for we know that it is appointed for every single man and every single woman to die. And after that, the judgment. Gateway once the death, once again, is not an end. It's a gateway. It's a gateway to the next life or the next death. So we need to make sure that we are, of course, loving God and not the world so we can reach that life part of that. So the question is for us today and this morning, are we obeying the will of God? Are we truly loving God and putting God first rather than the world, sin, or maybe even possessions of the world, possessions of this life? And once again, we must enjoy the things that are given to us, the blessings that are given to us. But the problem is when we put those things before God, when we put those things over God, that's when the problem is. Do not love the world. Love God. Do not love your possessions more than you love God. The rich man did. Don't be like that rich man. Choose to give everything. Choose to give everything for the cause of Christ, even your own life. Who would be willing to do that here? Every one of us should be willing to do that, of course. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll just read that. Two last verses, and I promise you I will be done. Two last verses, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. One more thing I might say about this holiday, about this so-called holiday, but seasonal day, is that we can use this as an avenue. We can use this as a chance to bring people to Christ. We can use this as an opportunity. As Jesus would use miracles as an opportunity. Well, there's no miracles happening now. But we can use this as we go out to our families, as we go out to secular people, as people are so joyous and happy about Christ. Let's reach out to them with the truth about Christ. It's a great opportunity. It's a great time. And you can see what I'm saying. It's a great time for evangelism even. But Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 was the last verse. Romans 14 and verse 10. And then the lesson is yours. Romans 14, 10. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So the question for us is, are we so busy judging each other that we do not know that ultimately Christ will be our judge? Are we so busy loving the world and the things of the world, and maybe our own desires, our own wants, and our wants for religion even, that we're not focusing on God's wants, on God's way? That's what we're talking about here. We will all stand before the same judgment seat, be judged by the same exact New Testament. I'm talking about today, in this age. We will all be judged by the New Testament. Every single person living in this age, during the time of ultimately Christ's testament, we will be judged by that. Everyone the same. Will we be ready? Or will we not be ready? That's the question for all of us this morning. Ask your own heart. Ask your own heart. If you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, Christians, that's a problem that we need to fix this morning. A problem that we need to fix right now. If you have any need at all, any need for family, for yourself, health issue, whatever it may be, spiritual issue, please let us help you, Christians. Come to the front as we're about to stand and sing, and let us pray with you. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to be saved. You must believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God before men, and then be baptized. And we have a baptism place right here for you to be baptized, immersed into the water, where you will be remissed of your sins and added to the kingdom of God, of the Most High God. Be added to the church, to the kingdom, not to the membership, but the church, the spiritual church. And then you must remain faithful to death. You will receive heaven. The treasure is in heaven, not on this earth. Christians, the lesson is yours. Friends, the lesson is yours. If you have a need, please come as we stand and as we sing.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come.